Welcome to the show, Josh Allard. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Brendan. How are you?
I'm actually doing pretty well because I just can't get over how excited you are to be here. It truly warms my heart so much.
I honestly don't even know where to start with this one because it's weird being on the other side of this now.
I know. Well, hey, you deserve it. When I called you to see if you wanted to be on the show, I was in fact recording because I knew you'd have a crazy ass reaction, and you did.
Thank you, dude. I really appreciate that, man.
I was thinking, what if you came on the show as a music industry videographer guy?
Dude, no. What? I'd be more than down for that, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Dude, I'm excited to see that one.
Josh, obviously I invited you to the show because we have this series where we talk to people that are in the music industry that do cool shit in the music industry. And no cap, like, you do really amazing things.
Thank you.
And not only do you do amazing things, but you're also, like, so talented at doing them. I was, like, thinking about this on the train here. It's like, literally everyone can have a camera and access to, like, Final Cut Pro, but you have such a creative eye to take, like, the content that you create, or capture, rather, and turn it into, like, a whole other experience, which is, like, super incredible.
I don't know how to accept compliments that well, but dude, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm still learning, still on this journey of getting to where I want to be with this and everything. And it's just been such an amazing ride so far. And I love every second of it. It's hard, but I just absolutely love it.
I know. And I've been part of your ride for 3 years now.
I know.
And I want to talk about, like, what you do for, like, Big Night and just in general as a whole. But first, we'll talk about what you do for Music You're Missing. So tell the listeners at home, what exactly do you do for the Music You're Missing podcast?
All right. So for Music You're Missing, I essentially edit all the video aspects of the episodes, from content to full length episodes to promos to even the recaps for, like, Up Next Fest, Bedroom Pop Party. And I also took photos for the Acoustic Night the other night, which all those events, absolutely amazing. And they're some of my favorite to work with. I'm being dead serious when I say that.
I remember the first show that we threw Up Next Fest. You were, like, actually pretty much in tears.
It was so good. I don't think that show gets talked about enough for how good the vibe was, how every single artist, like, absolutely crushed it that day. And it was just one of the most fun experiences I've ever had filming.
Yeah, no, it was great. But yeah, in short, you're the reason why Music You're Missing kind of looks the way that it does. You've edited over 100 episodes of Music You're Missing now.
Mm-hmm.
Who has been your favorite guest?
I don't think I can single it down to just one guest, but there's been multiple guests that are, like, absolutely incredible. One of the top ones that comes to mind was Sunroom. Sunroom was so much fun. They were all amazing to work with. Such a great episode. And it was, like, I was also there for that one in the studio, so that was so much fun.
They played the crocodile game. That's right. You did the handheld.
Yeah, yeah. Noah Richardson, great guy, by the way. Noah, if you're watching this, I hope you are. Can we work together more? You're like, really good. And I'm happy for you that you're blowing up with Tangerine as well.
Sunroom, Noah Richardson. You know who I thought you were gonna say?
Who?
Like Lizewo. I thought you were a big fan.
Oh my god,
them.
They were. I was gonna name some more as well.
Oh, that's right. Such a bad Lizewo, host. My bad.
I actually got into their music more because of editing that episode as well, and they are just. And I actually got to work with them, film their when they went on their first tour. I don't know if it was their first tour, but when they went on their first, like, actual tour, I filmed them at Sonya, and they were just absolutely amazing. They crushed it.
That's
and they're
awesome.
They're coming back soon, so I'll probably be filming them as well.
Yeah, Big Night residency, that's pretty sick.
Yeah. And so Noah Richardson, Sunroom, Lizewo, and there's one more. Oh my god, New Rules was so much fun to edit. Yeah, they were the funniest. They were just the funniest group of guys I've ever seen, and I could tell they really liked working with each other as well. So that was really nice to see that.
The boy bands are the best people to have in studio because their fans are crazy.
Yeah.
Like that, the Sunroom one, they opened for Louis Tomlinson of, like, One Direction. Mm-hmm. So the One Direction fans were all over that episode.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember seeing the views go up for it.
And you actually kind of hit on it, but I wanted to ask you this. Is there an artist that you discovered through Music You're Missing that you didn't know before that, like, now you're obsessed with?
Well, obviously, Noah Richardson, Lizewo, Blue the Tiger, New Rules. Yeah. Oh, there was also Aiden Bissett, one of our first episodes that we worked on. I love Aiden Bissett and his music. Aiden, if you're also watching this, I'm more than down to film you if you're ever involved. I'm just using this as, like, a free way to just, like, be like, hey guys, I want to film more artists and stuff, even though I already do a lot. But I just
want to add to the workload.
Yeah, add some more.
All right, well then, what artists do you think we got to get on the show? I already know who you're going to say, actually.
I already told you this one, but we got to get Judah and the Lion.
Yeah, that's true.
So we got to get Judah and the Lion, and we have to get Boyish. I don't know if you know Boyish.
I don't know Boyish.
But they are absolutely incredible. And I filmed them opening up for Beach Bunny, a Northeastern show. One of the best shows I've actually ever filmed, one of my favorite shows. And they are just the absolute best, unbelievably talented. They're on the tour with the Beaches right now, opening for them.
Sweet.
So, like, and every show is sold out for the Beaches right now, which is really sick. So keep on crushing it. Keep on crushing it.
It's a Boyish music you're missing. So welcome to the Music You're Missing podcast, Boyish. How are we?
We're good.
Yeah, we're doing great.
I thought you were going to say your I don't want to call her your crush because I think you actually just really value her artistry. Maude Latour.
Oh my. Every time you bring up a name, I'm just like, oh my God. But no, that was like a completely full circle moment. We got to get Maude on.
We
here.
Do. I mean, yeah. It's been in the works for like 2 years. And mm-hmm. one day it'll actually work.
One day it'll happen. One day it will.
But obviously, I've been an integral part of the Music You're Missing team. But beyond that, you do so much more. And you've kind of already hit on it. Like, you do all these like one off shows, but you also work for Big Night. So I'm just kind of confused. Like, what do you actually do? What do you do for Big Night? And then do you freelance?
So I'm a video production coordinator for Big Night. So I do a lot of video work for Big Night, whether that's through Big Night Creative or Big Night, our venues as well. So like Big Night Creative, we work with a couple brands around the city. And then Big Night, we do like restaurant work, concerts, nightlife, film those. And like also like we have our card vaults as well. Which is like our card stores. We film their card shows and just a whole lot throughout the week. It's chaos, but I absolutely love it so much. And I love every single person on the Big Night team.
Dang.
And I can't thank them enough for everything that they've given me and all the opportunities that they've given me. I'm just really grateful for it, man. I'm really grateful. It's completely changed my life. And I'm just more than just... wow, what is my life now?
Yeah, so. It definitely shows, because I mean, what you just described is amazing. It's definitely like a heavy schedule, and I know a lot of people, you know, you have to be the right person to suit that schedule, and you definitely do it well. So
thank you, I really appreciate that.
So Josh is booked and busy. You're kind of doing a whole bunch of different shoots. Are you responsible for like pre and post production?
Yeah. So like what. By pre-production, you mean?
Or like, I guess like cinematography, like
recording. Yeah. So I film the shows that I get scheduled on. I film the events I get scheduled on, and I edit them and everything. Or like we have a team. Sometimes we'll like put together footage and everything. It's like, oh, two people shoot one show, but one person's edits. Three people shoot one event, one person edits, or multiple people edit. It's like a team and collaborative effort. But like most of the concert or like 98% of the concert recaps that I do, I edit myself.
Are you like insanely organized?
I try to be, but it's kind of hard from time to time.
Yeah, like that stresses me out. Is it on like do you do a cloud or do you have a
we have a Dropbox. I have hard drives. We obviously upload all the footage, and I upload all the footage to my drive and everything, and it's fun. It's the whole process is just I love the whole process.
How long do you save your content for? Or well, I guess it's on the clouds. You probably save it forever.
Well, yeah. When I upload it to my hard drive, it's going to be there forever and everything. And then we also upload it to our servers and everything.
Unless you spill a Viva Tequila hard seltzer
on
your hard drive.
Oh, no. That's never
2 weeks happen. After getting it, after you backed up everything to your hard drive and then you spill
did
a tequila
that,
seltzer.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm on the train. I'm like, why is my backpack wet? And I was like, oh, shit.
It's
leaking exclusively into my hard drive.
And then you just smell it. Too, and you're just smells like alcohol.
Poor decisions, but hey, at least it's the lovely, beautiful, crisp Viva Tequila cells. They're only 88 calories per serving, 4% alcohol.
And that was not promo. That
crisp,
was just
refreshing.
Him speaking from the heart.
Grapefruit, watermelon, huckleberry. So Big Night, obviously, you're able to do so much cool shit through their brand. Like you said, it's more than just concerts. It's events. It's like working with other brands. They're like actual like consumer stores and stuff. What are some of the coolest gigs you've ever worked, and what was your role at them?
Usually, my favorite ones are always concerts, especially band shows.
Yeah.
But like actual gig-wise, like I filmed the Celtics gala at Encore one time, so that was really cool seeing all like the Celtics players and everything.
That is fancy.
Filming for, and this was through Big Night Creative, filming for when sports betting became legal within Massachusetts, like the first day we were at Encore for like 16 hours.
Dang.
And so like we had like exclusive access to everything. And like just have like the chaos of it, like all the media was there. There was a bunch of celebrities there, like Boston sports icons and stuff like that. So it was just really cool to be a part of that, to be kind of a part of like history within the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's wild. That's like a wild thing that we've experienced in our life. And I feel like Big Night was right on the scene for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being there to film for Big Night Creative and everything was really cool through Encore Casino.
Heck yeah. So obviously you came into this role with experience and like with a production background, but what have you learned now that you like have a professional gig? Like, what have you learned through the 3 years, whether it's like hard skills or soft skills?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is how to work with multiple members. Mm-hmm. Because before I used to literally just like be me on my own before I started working on Big Night, and you know, and like being a part of a team and like working together to get certain things done. That's been a huge thing. Cause before it was just me and like,
yeah.
I obviously like we work on our own things as well, but like to be a part of Big Night, I'm just doing like a Big Night ad right now, but I love my team. I love everybody on it as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's important because there are shoots that you simply cannot get, or like the quality. Of
yeah, exactly.
The shoot you cannot get.
Yeah, exactly.
Person.
Exactly. That's what I'm grateful for. Because like it's like, hey, you have to film 50 Cent tonight, and they just put me there.
Yeah, so you know what?
Yeah,
Josh, you're always with 50 Cent and Guy Fieri. Every single time I'm on Instagram, you're with one of them.
Well, 50 Cent, I've filmed like his shows, whether it's like a show at Big Night Live or like at the Grand or Memoir, like about like 10 times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I became like a little bit of a running joke where it's like, oh, you're on 50 Cent now, Josh, and I'm like, yay!
All right, give me a wild celeb story. You definitely got one.
I'm trying to. I gotta think of a good one. This is hard because there's like so many different experiences.
One that you can share, of course. I'm sure there's some you can.
Yeah, there's some that I can share.
Those are the first ones. Like,
I wish I could share them because some of them are like really funny, or like some experiences that shows are really funny. But I think like favorite one. when I first. Like, I'm a massive Chainsmokers fan. Like,
I knew that, but I thought you were saying you're a massive chain smoker, and I was like, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah,
Josh.
I smoke a shit ton of cigarettes but I'm a massive Chainsmokers fan, and I was able to film the Chainsmokers last year when they came to Memoir.
Sick.
And so I'm just like, I've followed the Chainsmokers since like 2015 with Roses. I know, like, listen to literally every single song. Roses is still like one of the best songs ever made, in my opinion. And so like to be filming them and to just be like, okay, I'm here in this moment, like I'm filming you guys. And then Drew, we're like chilling by like the tunnel where they, or like the little tunnel where they walk up to like the DJ booth and everything. And so like Drew from the Chainsmokers is like dapping everybody up and I'm filming it. And then he just turns to me and starts dapping me up. And on the inside, I'm like, I don't get starstruck usually, but like at that moment I was like, I'm about to pass out because this is like a dream right now. I've wanted to film these guys forever. I went to like their 2019 World War Joy tour. Like, I got floor tickets and here I am just filming the Chainsmokers. And
that's awesome.
It was just that. I think that's the craziest one for me that I can share, where it's just like, it's like, holy crap. You're just dapped up one of your idols, basically.
It's cool that he did that too. He saw that you were working, but he's
like,
still dabbed you up.
Yeah, dabbed me. It was such a cool experience and something I'll never forget. And I'm always just so grateful for it.
And that's why they call you the happiest face.
I'm just
face.
Really happy to be here.
The happiest face. Where does that name come from? Why are you the happiest
face?
Oh,
okay. So there's actually a story behind this one.
Ooh.
Pretty good story. So I was just starting out with video and photo on my own, and I actually went by a different name called Aljos, which was like the first three letters of my first and last name. And so I got tired of that name after a while, and I was like, okay, I got to come up with something. And then it was 2018, 4th of July 2018, and we were at my friend's college house. Shout out Brendan and Zoe. And it was one of the best days of my life, like one of the best parties I've ever been to. We were there for like 12 hours. We were just like hanging out, having an amazing time. and it was just such an amazing and chill day. And I put the smiley face on my story, and I really liked how it came out. And so I was like, oh, I'll just save this. And, you know, it's a cute little smiley face. And then I was like, okay, like a few weeks later, I was wondering, okay, I got to come up with a new name. I got to come up with a new logo and whatnot. And I'm just scrolling through my phone and I see that picture. And for some reason, it just clicked. And I was like, the happiest face. Like, that's the happiest face I've ever seen, the happiest face. And so I hit up a bunch of my friends. I was like, hey, what do you guys think about the happiest face? And what do you think about this logo? And they just were like, oh, that's a really good idea. Roll with it. And so that's how it actually started.
And the rest is freaking history.
The rest is history. And here I am being interviewed on Music You're Missing right now with a bunch of people coming by looking at us.
Tapping on the glass.
Yeah.
It's super on brand, though. Like, you really are the happiest face every room that you're in.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And so, like, what is that? Is it your brand, or is it just like website?
It's more like my brand. So the goal of the happiest face is to essentially just be a music brand, to be like a music media brand, whether it's like music videos, photography, live performances, live performances, but like music, basically all forms of music media is what I wanted the happiest face to become and still want it to become and everything.
Dude, I would love to see some more happiest face music videos.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to do one a year. So I'm really trying to get like an indie pop artist or something.
Literally anyone that's on Music You're Missing. Yeah. Like, we can just get that to happen.
Yeah. I'm trying to. And it's going to happen this year. There'll be another one this year.
That'd be sick. Why is it? Are they like really hard? Like how is it different than like a shoot at a concert?
So music videos, you have to like plan out like a story. Like I always try to plan out a storyline, and then you have to come up with a treatment, whether it's like a visual treatment or like a written out treatment. Then you have to find people who are down for it. Then you have to find people, at least from like where I'm at with it right now, you have to find people who are down with it. You have to find people who would like want to help you film and everything. Yeah. And then like you have to get the artist and like find a time that works. And it's hard with my job because it's full time. It's literally almost 24/7 sometimes.
Yeah.
And so like to find like a day that works for everybody is like the biggest challenge.
That's tough. And you got to like pay people in pizza because you can't afford to pay the extras at this point in our career.
You're filming like 8 hours a day. So you have to like provide something.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Well, like I said, we'll make it happen. 2024 new music video, happiest face times X music you're missing.
I need
collab
to do it with like an indie pop artist. I really want, who do you have in mind? Lazy?
Like, no, Richardson, Lazy, Retrograded.
Retrograded
actually is like a video producer himself.
Yeah,
too.
I know, dude. Retrograded stuff is so good. He's such a nice guy.
And think of how much better it would be if he had you on his team.
Oh, you know, I guess.
We're making money moves. All right, so Josh, we actually were kind of talking a little bit about before Big Night, and that brings me to, I was creeping on your social media. I found your address, by the way, which is maybe a little bit more secure on the internet. Like Putnam, Connecticut?
That's not my address anymore.
Well, I know where you grew up. and I saw that you did drama club in high school. And that's hilarious. I'm going to be honest. What did you do?
Wait, how did you find out I did? This is like a Nardwuar moment.
Dog.
Okay, so this is actually hilarious. I did drama club in high school. I did three plays. I did Our Town, Grease, and then A Philadelphia Story. Not the one with Tom Hanks, but like the older one, which is like some rich people play or something. But I did Grease. That was like the main highlight.
And what was your role?
I was duty, so I had to sing those magic changes. So I cannot sing for the life of me. But I actually kind of learned how to be okay at singing. It took like 6 months to learn how to sing okay. And so I had to sing. And what made it even crazier was it was a sold out, like both nights were sold out.
Dang.
And most of the time, like high school plays, they don't really sell out.
Yeah,
but like the entire place was packed, like all the way to the back. It was like a 500 person auditorium. And so I just had to sing in front of 500 people two nights in a row. But we spent like, I want to say like 7 months it was like 6 or 7 months preparing for it. We started in like October and then the show was in May. And so that was one of the most fun times of my life. So being a part of Grease and everybody who was a part of that cast. So
you bust out some choreo too?
Yeah, we busted out some choreography. Actually, Grease Lightning, when we performed Grease Lightning, because Duty was a part of the T-Birds, that was like my favorite moment in high school because all of us were so hyped to do it because we were like, we're gonna fucking do Grease Lightning. We're going to absolutely kill it. And it was like just so much fun. And it was like all those months of preparation were worth it for that one, for like those two nights that we did it.
That is an electrifying story. I did not know this about you. And yeah, that is awesome.
So it's actually funny. I only got the part of Duty at first was because I was the only person that knew how to play guitar.
At first, I didn't even know that you knew how to play guitar. I'm learning so much.
Did I tell you that?
No.
So I got guitar lessons when I was younger, and I can play guitar. I know how to read tabs, somewhat know how to read like regular sheet music.
Okay, so then is really. The next music video that you produce maybe a Josh Allard original?
I wish I could sing. I'm sure I was singing before, like when you went off to the side. And I'm sure Peter and Nia were probably dying laughing. I was saying Knox is not the 1975.
Love him. Good song.
Oh, I love Knox. He was such a good interview, too. I wish I could have been there for that one.
R.I.P. But that's really, I'm really happy that I learned that about you. And that just makes sense. And you're still kicking in the entertainment industry. You're still working sold out gigs. Mm-hmm. So the stars align.
Yeah. It's funny. I originally went to school to be a environmental scientist, but I was always doing like entertainment stuff.
Oh my gosh. I've known this man for actually over 3 years and you just continue to surprise me. When did you graduated?
Yeah.
Not in environmental science.
No, I graduated in new media studies, which was basically like online media creation.
So this is actually a perfect segue because obviously this episode and this series is really aimed for people that are looking to either get into the career of whatever the guest is. So you like concert photography, event photography, music media, if you will. And something that I often get asked is like, because I got my master's from Berkeley, do I regret it? My bank account surely does. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people like, maybe you don't necessarily need the degree. You know, really experience is what matters more.
Yeah.
Degree helps, but experience matters more.
Yeah.
Don't let me fuel your answer, but what do you feel like if someone does want to get into photography or videography, do you think a degree is worthwhile?
Not nowadays. No, no. It can help because you can learn stuff easier, but you have access to like YouTube. You have access to Instagram and TikTok, which so many people post so many different tutorials.
Yeah.
And you can just find almost any kind of style or like base your style on like almost anybody out there. And it's really an amazing time. So just kind of do it on your own, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't take away from like going out and getting a degree in it. But if you're like, oh, I need a degree to do it. No, you don't.
No, yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think like a degree doesn't hurt, but maybe get a degree in something broader, like communication.
Or yeah, exactly.
Business.
Exactly.
And then do photography or whatever on the side and make that like your side hustle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like with new media studies, it was like online media across like all different types of things. So like I did like Photoshop. I did like JavaScript. I did some video editing and stuff like that. So it was a whole broad thing. It wasn't just one thing.
I had a production class at UMass where we literally used like cameras from the early 2000s and like not so that we could like learn, like that was just the equipment that we had.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not learning anything here. And then they also didn't teach us Final Cut. Like luckily I knew Final Cut going into it and I literally had to teach the students how to use Final Cut. Like this is what I'm getting my degree for. Why am I teaching the class?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, everybody makes fun of me for using Final Cut. But
dude, why? I do too. I love Final Cut way more than Adobe. I don't understand.
Oh, this is going to be the part of the interview where everybody's just going to roast me for it. But I'm just so used to using Final Cut now that I've tried to make the switch to Premiere. And it's just like I have a crazy deadline on a video. I'll learn Premiere another time. And it just never happens.
Why would you say Premiere is more of like an industry standard?
Final Cut's also like an industry standard as well. But Premiere, like everybody uses Premiere.
Really?
And yeah, everybody.
Yeah, previous job, I was supposed to be using Premiere, and I was telling them I was, but I was using Final Cut.
Yeah, exactly. And it still comes out as, like, the same and everything. Well, until, like, you have to collaborate on a project, then it's like, hi, guys, I'm using Premiere. I'm sorry.
You've just spent $300 on Final Cut now.
Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting. Okay, so Josh, we got that covered, but now I'm curious, like, what would you say if someone wants to get into photography or event videography, just music media, they want to start? And I'm guessing if you want to start, you're usually like in college or maybe you're like post-grad. What advice do you have for them?
So one of my things, how I started was I was just taking photos of friends. Mm-hmm. Really, I was just taking photos of friends or like local artists within my school and everything. My advice is to always start small and then expand outwards.
Yeah.
Don't start big. Like, cause like, yeah, it's cool if you like shoot for, you know, you hit up like a tour manager for like an artist and then they give you like a media pass for it and everything, but you're not working directly with that artist. And so I say just start smaller, start working directly with like local artists within your area, or like go to an open mic night, take photos.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop you from that? Everybody's going to love
it. People would appreciate it. Yeah, even if they turn out shit, like even if you get one good one, that person's going to appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how you start, and that helps you get better connections with artists. I personally have had, I could film for somebody massive, but not work with them directly. But I've had so much more fun just working directly with smaller artists and building those connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like working directly with them. It's so much more fun and so much more fulfilling. And so just starting small and expanding outwards, because a lot of these artists, if you help out smaller artists, you're going to help them start looking better, and then more eyes are going to get on them, and then that's how you grow your connections mm-hmm. as well. And then it's like one day you're like, oh hey, hypothetical, it's like, oh, your buddy's opening for a massive artist, and then the tour manager for that massive artist comes up to you and is like, hey, what's your contact? I might like next time I'm in Boston, I could use you for a show and everything. Yeah. And then they come back and it's like, hey, I need you here tonight. Are you available? And that's how you can basically get those connections.
Yeah. And you can also invest in like the artists from the beginning. And yeah, as exactly. they grow, they take you along with them.
That's the dream. That is the absolute dream that I want. Like, I really want that so bad. I want that to happen.
So what? All right. Now that this is my question for you, is what's stopping you? Because I feel like you do have all of the connections to do that.
It's hard. But like recently I've been starting to work more directly with artists. So in the beginning I was filming with, I'm obviously still working with Big Night and everything, but I wasn't like really like working directly with the artist. I was just filming the night in the event and everything. And so it was recently like I started filming for like a couple DJs, and then like I filmed for Lazewo directly, and then I filmed for Boyish directly, and like all these other peoples, Evil Felipe, which I absolutely love them. Shout out Emma and everybody on that entire band. They're like one of the best bands in Worcester. But yeah, just working more directly with artists it's slowly been happening. And I'm not going to push it, and like I'm just going to let it happen naturally.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to do it. And like that's how you get more experience, is just doing it naturally and whatever comes.
Because you want to go on tour?
I do want to go on tour so bad. I want to do it. Like that's basically been the goal. So like I'm sure you're probably going to ask how like all of this started. It actually started because I wanted to become a tour videographer. I used to watch, I'm a massive Justin Bieber fan.
Shout out.
Like huge Justin Bieber fan. And I was like, I was at a point in my life, sophomore year of college, where I was like, I want to switch my major. I don't like doing environmental science anymore. What can I do? And my mom suggested, oh, there's a new major at your school called New Media Studies. And I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And I was watching Justin Bieber's Purpose Tour videos done by Rory Kramer. And then it just all of a sudden clicked. I'm like, wait, people get to film artists like and just be like friends with them and just go on tour with them and get to go to all these cool places and make videos and like be a part of the music process. That's sick. How do I start this? And so it was like that night I looked up like what's a good beginner camera. And then I told my mom, I'm like, hey, I'm going to do New Media Studies. And so that's how it really all started, was just watching Justin Bieber tour videos. And then it all clicked.
Has there ever been a valuable piece of advice that you've been given throughout your career?
It's really hard to name it off the top of my head. I think one of the biggest ones is just, it's a hard industry. So just keep going.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest one. And Or it's like my boss, Kyle, sometimes, love Kyle to death. He's like, just relax, just keep going and go with the flow. Because like, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's always a marathon and not a sprint. And that's sometimes you forget about that because you see all these amazing videos on the internet, but it's like, what's my degree of personal success and what will make me happy?
Yeah.
And it's finding personal success within and just keep going.
Hey, Cardi B once said, ain't no competition when you're competing with yourself.
Exactly.
But honestly, I agree. I think that's a great piece of advice because it is so, especially now, like when people used to say like, oh, it's so easy to compare yourself on social media. I'd be like, you're weak.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you realize you're like, oh no, I actually do compare myself to every single thing because it's TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, fucking Yahoo News. Like there's just something that is, there's someone that I perceive as better than me everywhere I am. And it's like, that's just not even true. Like, what were your original goals? Have you already even, you might have already accomplished them. Like, if your original goal was to, like, be a concert photographer, like, you've already done that.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Like, you can keep growing, for sure, but.
And you just keep on adding more and more goals to that and everything. Yeah.
And especially in the music space, I guess I'll echo what you said and add, drop the ego, man.
Yeah. Massive.
Just guilty as charged on maybe having an ego in my youth.
We all are, but it's like, I think one of the biggest things too is just realizing you're not like, as creators, sometimes you see yourself as like this massive person, but you're not. You're just you.
You're literally just a guy.
Yeah, you're just a guy. You're not bigger than the artist. It's just you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like opportunities, when someone is in power to give you opportunity, like it doesn't matter if you're like really good. If you like suck, they're actually not going to give it to you.
If you're not a nice person, you're not going to go that far because it spreads quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does spread quick, that stuff, especially like within local scenes and within like around the industry. Like there's some people that we know as artists who just suck and we're not going to say them, but they just suck to work with. And it goes around quick too.
And eventually catches up with them. It really does. And that's the thing is like, it is so serendipitous because you also think like that's not true. And like no one is like, if you're that great or you're that popular, like your ego won't kill you. But sometimes it really freaking does.
Yeah.
Especially on the lower scale, like all of these artists that are in my life are like an ego could kill you for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It'll really hold you back.
Well, Josh, it has been an absolute delight chatting with you.
I'm really grateful for this. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
The happiest face, the most grateful face.
I just can't. This is like such a wild thing to like be here finally to like actually be on Music You're Missing and to like just chat about all this stuff. It's really cool.
Hey, it only took 3 years.
Yeah, it only took 3 years, but here we are now.
We did it. And I'm glad we saved it for the new studio.
Yeah, exactly. Because we had the little closet in the back. Basically,
That would have content. The content in this studio performs so much better because of the niceness of it as well.
It looks so good.
We saved it so you could get maximum views.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
As I'm saying, like views don't matter. Anyways, Josh, I'm kind of curious. What is the end goal? Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
So the end goal for me is to eventually become like a creative director for like multiple artists. I still got to learn how to be a better director. I still got to learn all these other things. But yeah, I want to be creative director for artists. I want to go on tour with artists. I want to do like be a part of all their music media and like help produce it and everything like that. Whether it's like music videos, those little like music video snippets on Instagram and TikTok, concert recaps, photos, or just lifestyle stuff in general with the artists. Because I absolutely love music so fucking much and I listen to it all the time. And like, this is what I do is basically my way to like essentially be a part of the music industry. Cause I can't sing that well and I can play instruments, but not like professionally.
Yeah.
But so this is my way of just contributing to the music industry. And I just love it so much.
Dude, as a fan of your work and your editing style, I'm excited to see that play out for some of the artists because I know it'll definitely enhance their shit. So I can't wait to see.
There's a couple this year I'm really excited to work with. So
hell yeah,
it'll all come in time. Just got to keep going.
All right, I wrap up every single interview with this question.
All right,
it's my favorite question to ask. All right, literally anyone.
Go for it. I'm ready for it because I think I know what it is.
I sure hope so. It's been 3 years. Yeah. unrelated to work or your career. What is a goal that you have that you hope to accomplish or goals in the near future?
Some of my goals is to just, It's gonna sound. I was like, oh, get married.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. So I'll just start naming them. I definitely want to get married one day. Start a family and like, you know, just have like a really nice family, I guess.
Wow, that's so lovely.
You know, like live out in the Berkshires or Washington or something. And yeah,
love just like Berkshire County.
Live out there one day, have a family, live a nice quiet life, you know, like listen to music all the time and still do music and like help people like get better with music, whether it's like through music media or maybe one day I go down a different route with it. And so just be a part of the music industry still some way, whether how big or small, mm-hmm. and just have a family one day and live a nice quiet life and be happy. I think that's the number one thing, is just find peace within myself and be happy.
Amen, man. You got some wholesome intentions. I love it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, Josh, aka The Happiest Face, thank you so much for being on the Music You're Missing podcast.
Well, thank you, Brendan Jannetty. Thank you for letting me be on the Music You're Missing podcast.